Hello and welcome to the inaugural edition of a new game show right here on The Incomparable. I'm your host, Shelley Brisbane, and this is Eat or Be Eaten, a contest featuring trivia about food, cooking, and tasty beverages. Today, I will be ably assisted by the bestest unicorn I know, your scorekeeper and mine. It's Kathy Campbell. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Shelley. I'm so excited for all of the snacks that you brought for us, and I'm very hungry.
I knew I forgot something. Oh, man.
Oh, no.
Well, let's meet our players who now apparently won't get snacks. Those brave souls who said, sure, I'll play your new game. Whatever. I did promise them snacks and I didn't deliver. So they already all hate me. I will introduce them in the order that they will be playing as determined by our friends from random.org.
Random.org.
Thank you, Cicero.
Random to you.
We begin with someone who reigned as Random Pursuit champion for 2 entire years because he is comfortable with all kinds of pie slices. It's Cicero Holmes. Hi.
Yes, I am looking for more pie.
Next up, a man who could write entire novels about the great meals he's eaten. Welcome, Dan Morin.
Oh, yes, they're delicious. And I look forward to many more in this show, right? Great meals? That's what we're doing?
Absolutely. Here's a woman who would go all the way to the Delta Quadrant for a decent cocktail, Jean McDonald. Glad you're here and happy belated birthday to you.
Oh, thank you. I am looking forward to this immensely.
Despite the fact that his home country is sometimes ridiculed for its cuisine, we know that Anthony Johnson is not responsible for black pudding. Hi, Anthony.
Not only am I not responsible, but I would never eat this stuff. Also, I've just realized I made a terrible mistake coming on a show like this as the only Brit surrounded by Americans with your cups and ounces and strange brand names. I'm going to get slaughtered, aren't I?
It might not be as bad as you think. Who knows?
There'll be a figgy pudding question in there, I'm sure.
Oh, dear.
In fact, we are a three-nation show today because last and certainly not least, here is a self-described Wisconsin cheese snob who has inexplicably chosen Canada as her home. Erica Ensign, hello.
Turns out Canada is also very, very proud of its dairy, so I feel right at home in both places. Although,
glad
I don't eat dairy.
So someone who doesn't eat dairy, someone who doesn't eat black pudding, geez, this is a...
Picky eaters.
Next, I'll be
show.
Saying I don't eat hamburgers. Actually, I don't eat hamburgers.
I'm allergic to beef, so...
Wow.
Yeah. Fortunately,
we're learning so many things.
I know. Picky eating is not a deterrent in this game, I don't think, but I'll be the judge of that, I suppose. So let us begin round one. It's called Best Breakfast. Something we do when we make radio, which is pretty much like saying back in my day for most people, is we check our audio levels for guests. We typically ask them what they had for breakfast. And while they're telling us, we make their audio levels sound awesome. So I'm going to ask each of you to tell me what you had for breakfast today. And in exchange, you get points. Up to 5 for the breakfast that seems most delicious, intriguing, or makes me laugh. Believability, however, is a factor. I will rank your answers and score you accordingly. There are also secret rules. TM, I don't know who I stole that from. But there are secret rules in this round of game show. triggering
Lex.
Them, I think that's Lex. Triggering them could cost you points or earn you a nice bonus. So in this round, you're going to submit your breakfast answer to Kathy Campbell in her Slack channel, and she is going to read out the results, and I am going to score and judge you. So submit your breakfasts now.
All right, are we ready?
Yes.
Oh, right, yeah, we're playing a game, right?
First up on the menu is Anthony's breakfast, which is Alpen brand muesli. Did I say it right?
Yeah, it's a soft S, muesli. Yeah.
Muesli. There we go. I still have no idea what that is, it's
some sort of cereal, right?
Grains.
You don't...
Grain, in, like yogurt, usually, or something?
It's muesli. Oh. It's just...
it's a cereal in the sense it's a grain.
It's grain-based, right?
Shelley, yeah, don't worry. No one was going to steal Anthony.
At least he didn't have black pudding.
I don't know how to break down muesli any more than just it's muesli.
The internet says it's kind of, yeah, grains and dried fruit and oats and nuts and stuff. And sometimes with milk, sometimes yogurt.
So it's sort of like oatmeal then.
Right.
Or granola-ish.
No, but it's not. You don't cook it.
you know, cooked.
Okay. So granola.
Yeah. So like, yeah granola. I would.
Except it's not every British meal ever.
Hard like granola. It's just
wait,
again,
it's soft,
usually,
but not
you
cooked.
Don't cook it. You don't cook it. You just eat it.
Anthony, I think somebody's giving you soggy cereal. I think that's what's happening.
And so we're going to move on now to Cicero's breakfast, which, by the way, he is currently eating. It is a Denver omelet with American cheese, hash browns, pancakes, vanilla and blueberry iced coffee, and water. I didn't realize you could record a podcast at a Denny's.
Wow. So is this just
apparently you
Kathy
can.
Throws shade on all of our breakfasts? Is that what wow. this is?
Apparently. I didn't even spec on that, but maybe that's part of the fun. I don't know.
Listen, if you have me read stuff, I'm going to add commentary.
All right. It's allowed.
All right. Dan's breakfast was a bowl of raisin bran, corn griddle cakes, and tea. Was there milk in the raisin bran? And if so, what kind?
Yes. And skim milk?
Judging, but that's
fine. I like to eat a healthy taking breakfast and then follow it up with an unhealthy breakfast. Come on,
now I'm glad nobody asked about what milk I have on my muesli. I would have been judged even more harshly.
You put milk on muesli? No.
It's because I don't know what muesli is, so I don't know that milk is included. So it's
the
fine.
Milk wasn't cooked. So,
but it's soft. It's not hard.
Is it pasteurized?
None of that hard milk.
British milk is always hard.
It's not pasteurized actually because it's not milk. It's hazelnut, quote unquote, milk. Ooh. That I have.
Oh,
this is adding new dimension to this. Yes.
That sounds interesting. Actually,
yeah. It's good. I've I love hazelnut milk.
Hazelnut milk.
It's really good.
Alpine muesli with hazelnut milk. Oh, how gauche!
So Wikipedia suggests that muesli is actually just like oatmeal, but you didn't cook it.
Yeah, it's not.
Oh, man. I always get my food advice from Wikipedia.
I did have measly once at the fancy hotel that we had to stay in when we had bed bugs in our apartment. So I don't have great associations with measly.
I was going to say, yeah, bad memories. But measly is not fancy.
Here it is, I'm afraid.
If I had to Google how to pronounce it, then yes. It's extra fancy.
Kathy, what else do we have on the menu?
All right, Erica had a gluten-free maple glazed donut from Kinnikinick Bakeries in Edmonton with a cup of double Nespresso espresso with foamed oat milk. And she adds, if this isn't the bougiest brekkie, I'll eat another donut. I think we've learned that it is not the bougiest, so please eat another donut.
Right.
Yep.
Fair. Agreed.
Yes. All right. And then last but not least, Jean had brie on toast, cocoa truffle espresso, and leftover birthday cake.
Oh, yeah, see, that's bougier.
Yeah.
I don't know. Leftover birthday cake isn't really bougie.
Yeah, but the like rest of it is.
First of all, nobody triggered the bonus or the penalty.
Nope, that is incorrect.
Is it?
The penalty...
Uh-oh.
Was
oh, you're right. Oh God, yeah. I didn't. That was the one I didn't think would get triggered. All right, so
oh
we'll
yeah,
score.
They got.
We'll do the
it
points.
Was
No. We'll do the main points, and then Kathy will remind me who gets the bonus, who gets the penalties. I think there's like three of them now that I think of it. Gosh, I'm going to have to go with Cicero's omelet because and other accompaniments because it's so comprehensive and give that one 5 full points.
All righty.
Let's see. Remind me. So Erica's got the donut. Jean has the leftover birthday
brie
cake
on toast
and something else, but I heard leftover birthday cake and that was really important. Yeah. I think second, I'm going to give the second to the muesli just because it brought so much conversation and I feel like that's as important in a game show as anything. Then I'm going to give, let's see, what was Dan's? Remind me.
Dan's was raisin bran, corn griddle cakes and tea.
I like that, but I think I'm going to have to put Jean in third place with the birthday cake for 3 points. Then Erica, and I'm afraid the raisin bran, which I would actually, that's a breakfast I would actually eat and I enjoy it, but it is not as, bougie as the others. And so apparently
I made cornmeal griddle cakes from scratch and that got me nothing. Next time I'll leave out the raisin bran.
If you had
bran.
Said from scratch, maybe I would have. Well, no, I don't know. Fine. So Kathy, reveal the penalty and who gets it.
So no one gets the bonus, and two members of our esteemed panel get the penalty for flavored coffee.
The bonus was waffles or French toast, and the penalties were flavored coffee or turkey bacon.
I almost put hazelnut in this, and I'm so glad I didn't.
You should never be penalized for turkey bacon.
Yeah, I agree. Turkey bacon's great.
Turkey bacon is its own penalty.
You should be penalized for cocoa truffle Nespresso.
Like, no, I personally, for the record, I did not make these points, and I would have given extra. But
wow,
it's fine.
First round and already absolving yourself of responsibility.
About right.
Listen. Shelley knew what she was getting into.
I did. I absolutely did. All right, so Kathy, at the end of round one, how do the points stand?
In first place, Cicero and Antony both have 4 points. In third place, tied, or second place, I never know how that works, but the next is also a tie between Jean and Erica with 2 points each. And Dan is holding up the rear with 1 point, which is more than me. I have 0.
And now it's time for round two. Round two is called Now We're Cooking. No G, just an apostrophe. I will ask you questions about tools and techniques used in cooking. This is a multiple choice round, but if you want to try your luck without having the choices, you'll receive 3 points for a correct answer. If you opt to hear the choices after you've heard the question, you'll receive 2 points for a correct answer. Does that make sense to everyone?
Yes.
We'll go through this with two. We have two rounds, so each person will get 2 questions. And we begin with Cicero. Here's where random.org comes in. Cicero.
Random.org.
Thank
you. We bring the random to you.
Cicero, how can you describe the main difference between grilling and barbecuing? And you can either answer now or you can have me retwist.
By which regional definition?
Right, exactly. I will hear the question. Hear the answers.
You grill a suspect. You don't barbecue a suspect.
Good to know. Preferably. There are 3 choices. All of these have 3 multiple choices. A, there's really no difference. They're 2 versions, 2 words for the same thing. B, barbecue is done on a charcoal grill while you grill on a gas device. And C, hot and fast versus slow and low.
A bunch of Canadians are going to be really mad in a minute.
Not to mention Australians, yeah.
No matter what, everybody is going to be mad, I think, but Shelley.
Yeah,
can't
exactly.
Wait. Yeah. So,
there's no
wait.
Way to please
Send
everyone.
Send your cards and letters to not me.
The answer is, depending on where you live, it's A. But the correct answer, depending on where you live, is C.
I think you're just giving two.
What is your final answer?
Suddenly it's a crossover with Pants in the Boot.
That's where we could have gotten Glenn involved.
My answer is C.
That's correct. And I understand that there is debate on this. I have a set of questions from various sources, and we'll just have to agree not to fight. Maybe not to fight, please. I mean, I'm not saying what the listeners will do.
I'm Canadian now, so no, I will just sit here very silently being grumpy. That's all.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
All right. Question 2. This one is for you, Dan. If you're blanching vegetables, what are you doing and why?
Oh, I've actually done this. So if I take a shot and I get it wrong without ever hearing the answers, that's it.
You get no points.
I get
but if
zero
you
points.
If you want the choices and you get it correct, then you get 2.
Oh, brutal. All right. I'm gonna take the answers because I'm not confident enough. I'm gonna take the multiple choice.
Dan,
right.
Do you want a hint? Because if you move them in with Dorothy and Sophia.
I'm Golden Girls-ing in. That's what I'm doing.
The Golden Girls spinoff of the cooking game show, of course.
There's some Tennessee Williams in here too, right?
Here are your choices. A, scalding them in boiling water, then plummeting them in ice water. B, soaking them in ice water before plunging them in boiling water. C, keeping them in ice water in the fridge.
All right, so this is, I felt very confident, and then I heard A and
A,
B that were just
boiling
the reverse.
Water, and boiling water, then cold water. B, cold water, then boiling water. C, cold water in the fridge.
Yeah, I'm going to say A.
But your question said, and why, and the answers didn't have that.
Because I didn't read the why. The why is, it's done to preserve color, flavor, and nutritional value. I added that so that when we had a discussion about it at the end,
okay.
I could explain the why.
To-
so I apologize.
Okay.
Because the whys are not for the wrong answers. The whys don't exist, but I have whys for the right answers. So because I shouldn't have read out why.
Yes. There we go. I knew the color part, at least, that's what makes it. You do have like broccoli or something, that's what keeps it bright green.
Well, it's also what stops it from just dissolving into mush if you overboil it. Yeah.
Yes, right.
Gene, the next question is for you. What is a Bain Marie spelled B-A-I-N hyphen M-A-R-I-E?
I'm going to answer it. It is a it's a thing you set up to very gently melt or cook something, and French cooking is well known. So it's basically what we would call a double boiler with hot water underneath, and then a pan in which you put your chocolate or your hollandaise or whatever it is that doesn't need to be boiled but needs to be cooked.
That's correct.
Yay. Oh.
Bang on, practically a dictionary definition. Yeah.
I would never have gotten that one, which is why I included it. There's some in here that I would have gotten, some in here I wouldn't. That was my only ability to test how hard these questions are. So I'm in. You've all gotten them right, though, which is really annoying me right now. But
well, don't worry. Don't worry.
There's some hard ones coming up. Anthony, this is for you. If a pie recipe calls for blind baking, what do you do?
I believe, and this isn't something commonly done over here, I think, as much as in the States, but I believe, isn't that when you put the base, you cook the base in the oven using weights, oven beads, to hold it down, hold down greaseproof paper over it, and then I'm not describing this very well at all. Am I even on the right track?
You already got it. You're fine.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. Wow.
Nice work.
Yeah.
Very good.
Good job.
Before
Ed.
You put the filling in, basically, you cook the sort of the base pastry before you put the filling in. Yeah.
I didn't get the chance to read the truly stupid other choices, one of which was you just ballpark the ingredients, you don't worry about specificity, and then cook it upside down was the other choice. So if you had the choices, you would have been like, that's
I've cooked pies upside down, believe me.
All right. This is for Erica.
Oh boy, here comes Erica. The first wrong answer.
Is a bouquet garni spelled B-O-U-Q-U-E-T-G-A-R-N-I?
I'm going to need those multiple choices, and I hope the wrong answers are as silly as they were for the last question.
A flower arrangement on the dining table. B, a bundle of fresh herbs added to dishes like stews and soups. C, a spice mix containing lavender, mostly used in southern French dishes.
B? Yay!
Hey.
That was a guess.
Oh, well. Guessing is good. All right, so we're back around to the top. Cicero, this is for you. Uh-oh. What is tadka in Southeast Asian cooking?
Oh, I'm drooling.
I know I want some.
It is the process of Shelley giving me multiple choice.
Good process. All righty. Choice A, sizzling whole spices in hot cooking fat to liberate essential oils and enhance flavors. B, lowering the temperature of a pressure cooker so spices get a chance to infuse into the dish. C, splashing hot water into a tandoor oven so that steam keeps the bread extra soft and fluffy. Non-bread, it should say.
And what are we?
Tadka is the term. Tadka, T-A-D-K-A.
Oh, okay. Not Takis, because I was going to say that's a bag.
Also not in Southeast Asian cooking very often.
Yet. I'm sure it's coming.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So wait a minute. So Erica got her answer correct, yes?
Yeah, she by did. Guessing.
Oh, okay. You were wrong about who was going to get the first wrong answer. I'm going with A.
What? Yes. Yay. You were wrong.
You guys just don't want to hear my buzzer. I have a buzzer, and I haven't gotten to play it, and I'm really upset about it.
I make my own dal tadka at home. Otherwise, I wouldn't have actually known what tadka meant if I hadn't actually prepared the cumin seeds and stuff in the ghee.
I've never even heard of it, yeah. And we cook a fair amount of Asian food
that's
here.
That's the most bougie breakfast.
Would eat, however. Dan, this question is for you. In the science of cooking, what is the Maillard reaction? By the way, that sounds like a title of one of your books. I'm just saying.
Well, I'll tell you this. It's the Maillard reaction, I believe. That is the reaction get when you are searing food, often meat, and you get the sort of the brown crust from the combination of fat and heat that uses the it's get your nice and crunchy bits on the outside of your what you're cooking.
Has nothing Buzzer, to do with just, ducks.
No,
nothing
it doesn't.
To do with ducks.
It doesn't.
No.
And
one of the answers did.
That's the one I made up, and I'm really glad I didn't have to read it. Moving on. This question is for Gene. In Chinese cuisine, what is hong chow or red cooking? That's spelled H-O-N-G, second word, S-H-A-U, S-H-A-O, pardon me.
Yeah, I'm going to have some multiple choices.
Choice A, a stir-frying technique applying extremely high heat, leaving ingredients slightly scorched. B, cooking ingredients in light and dark soy sauce. Xingshao wine, pardon me, I pronounced that, Shaoxing wine. Pardon me, to everybody who speaks Chinese and is laughing at me now, wine, sugar, and spices like star anise and Sichuan peppercorns. C, and I'll read that again since I bollocked it so badly. C, a cooking technique where large amounts of fresh red chilies are added to boiling water, giving extreme spiciness to ingredients they get cooked in. So C is green chilies, B is dark and light soy sauce, wine, and other stuff, and A stir-frying technique applying extremely high heat.
I do not know. I am going to use my guessing senses and say isn't all wok cooking extremely high heat, so I'm not going to go with the A. I'm going to go with B.
All right, and now we have another one that that may or may not be easy. We'll see. Anthony, what is deglazing?
Oh, deglazing.
Deglazing.
That is when you use something acidic, often like wine, to you put it into a hot pan to remove burned on bits on the base of the pan.
I'm going to give you that one because it's not specific to using wine to do it, but it is in fact removing the burned bits from the base of the pan so that
you can use stock. Yeah,
you can use anything.
Oh, I've never deglazed with stock. Okay, fair enough.
You can use water.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No,
it's not great, but you could do it.
Yeah, okay. I wouldn't have thought water would be.
Well, it tastes good.
It has to be acidic. But anyway,
I like doing wine. That sounds.
But yeah, wine's.
It does sound better.
Even better if you drink some while you do
why
it.
Why wouldn't you?
Well, I would assume. That would be assumed. All right. The last question this round is for Erica. What is scoring in a cooking context?
Scoring is when you make slight slices, not all the way through something, just like a little bitty indentation. It's often used on like the top of bread or sometimes something like with noodles, like lasagna or something. I'm thinking of my microwave lasagna. you literally score the plastic on the outside. But anyway, so that when you cook it,
you're already right.
mercy.
I thought scoring was what Kathy was doing during this game.
I hope so. We're about to find out. Kathy, could we have a score check, please, at the end of round two?
Oh, I was supposed to score. I'm just kidding. Yes, of course.
She's going to cut small slices in all of us.
In first place, we have Anthony with 10 points. Cicero is in second with 8 points. We have a tie for third with Gene and Erica with 7 points. And Dan is still holding up the rear. He's got 6. And I still have 0.
Really but sound do effect.
Do I get a point for actually doing my job? No? Okay. Let's go on to the next
round. I mean, you're the scorekeeper, so don't you get to decide.
True. You can have all the points, Kathy. You have control of the spreadsheet just as I do. And I'm not changing it. I'm looking at it, but I'm not touching it. I'm reading my little script over here. All right, now on to round 3. It is now time to play Fruit Berry. I saw a thing on the internet, like you do, about how a banana is botanically a berry. Turns out lots of other fruits that don't have berry in their name are, in fact, berries. A berry is a fruit. But a fruit is not necessarily a berry. In this round, I will give you the name of a fruit. If you think it is a berry, say berry. If you think it is a fruit, but not a berry, say fruit. You get 3 points for each correct answer. And by the way, the reason the points are so generous is so that all the rounds can even out roughly. So I will just, we'll go through 2 rounds of these as well. Cicero, is a tomato a fruit or a berry?
It is a fruit.
I'll explain. I'll explain fruits and berries after the round. That was done on purpose so that you couldn't, you know, make educated guesses and take too long. Dan, is an apple a berry?
It's a fruit.
Yes.
Gene, grape.
Grape is a fruit.
Anthony, kiwi.
Fruit.
I'm having fun.
He's not a kiwi. Yeah. He's from the UK. He's not a kiwi, okay?
I'm so sorry I called you a kiwi. Erica, avocado.
Berry.
Cicero, peach.
Yeah. Peach is a fruit.
Back to you, Dan. A pepper.
Berry.
Jean, a pear.
A pear is a fruit.
Anthony, an eggplant.
Berry.
Ooh.
Last but not least, Erica, watermelon.
Ugh. Sorry, I don't like watermelon.
I don't either. I hate them.
I will say berry.
I'm glad to be among my watermelon-hating people.
Yes.
I had a round in here at one point to do with foods that we hated, and I was going to judge you based on whether you selected something that I liked or didn't like, and watermelon was like prime on my list. But
I was hoping you were going to say strawberry so I could say, botanically, that's a vegetable.
So for those of you who are not as smart as Erica, here is a botanical definition of a berry. Fruits are reproductive organs of a flowering plant. They can be divided into several subcategories, one of which is berries. To be considered a berry, a fruit must develop from one single ovary and generally have a soft exocarp, the outer part, the outer part, and fleshy mesocarp, the flesh or middle part. The endocarp, the inner part that encloses the seed, must also be soft and may enclose one or more seeds. And that is all about berries.
I learned something today. Mm-hmm.
I did learn something today.
Me too. I had to write that down because I knew I would forget it.
My college botany class finally came in handy.
Oh, yeah. Erica knows that the watermelon is a berry. There you go. Mm-hmm. Kathy, can you give us a score check?
I would love to give you a score check. Thanks to college, Erica is now tied with in first place with Anthony for 13 points.
Woo.
Second place is Dan with 12 points.
Aha!
Cicero's in fourth place with 11, and Gene is in the back with 10.
But it's a close game. Close game. Very close game. All right, for round four, they're everywhere, and eating there often, even there, eating there too often will probably shorten your life, or else I'm a food snob. Of course, I'm talking about fast food restaurants. In this round called Chain of Fools, you'll get questions about chain restaurants, history, and statistics. There are no multiple choices. You'll just come up with your best guess, and I'll reward you with 3 points for each correct answer. Partial points are available because, you know, we might have arguments, and I will make room for the possibility of partial points. Here we go.
Doomed.
Question one.
Poor Anthony.
It's not going to be as bad as you think.
I
was aware that there would be multiple countries represented. I did my best. I'll just say that. All right. First up, Cicero.
Yes.
The McDonald's ad, "I'm loving it," is taken from where?
What do you mean? Is taken from where?
What is its source? The "I'm loving it."
Oh, the source would be a rap song from the Clips.
I have it as a Justin Timberlake song, and I don't.
Probably ripped it off.
Well,
right?
No. So he did not rip it off. It was a Justin Timberlake song featuring the Clips. The Clips were the ones that actually produced the line. Did the line?
Oh, nice.
Pusha T is the rapper who actually coined the phrase "I'm loving it."
I'm feeling like that's a point, Kathy. Do you agree?
I was in my heart, but of course, you as the host are here to, you know, be the judge overall. I was going to give like 2 points because technically it came from Justin Timberlake's song, even though.
But was written by other, created by others.
Correct.
I'll go with that. I'll go with 2 points. 2 points. That's why we have partial
also,
credit.
Also, part of me wanted to believe that was like a Cicero bluff because it sounded, I was like, oh, this is really good.
Yeah,
I'm convinced. That's the whole true. Question's wrong. Throw right. it all out.
Exactly.
There was a whole controversy recently with Pusha T and the McDonald's thing. Do you not remember that?
Absolutely.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. So Pusha T wrote that. He wrote that line. He gets paid for it, or he didn't get paid enough or whatever. And then he went to Arby's and made a whole rap.
That's right.
For Arby's fish sandwich.
Oh,
a diss track.
Yeah. It was a diss track towards McDonald's.
I really, yeah, nice. I am so sorry. I really wanted you to say, and then he went to Arby's for arbitration. My brain works.
We nice. Have the
Or doesn't.
I didn't think I'd get to use that fourth button on my little soundboard.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
Apparently
that
I got
that
to.
Was well done.
All right.
Good job.
All right. Question two is for Dan. By the year now, I recognize that much time has passed, so don't argue with me about it. We're going back to the year 2000. By the year 2000. By the year 2000, Dan, how many Applebee's restaurants were in existence?
Too many. yes. Whatever number it is, it's too many. Oh, all right. Year 2000. Now, I feel like that was like the heyday of the Applebee's. There were a lot. I'm going to say. Oh, God. I feel like any number. I'm so bad with getting quantities.
Is multiple choice a possibility here, or are we just guessing?
We're just guessing.
We're just
guessing. I could make up some choices right off. I know that's why partial points are available. Because
I'm
going to
say 873.
That's pretty low. It's actually 1,800. And a fun fact, the internet says that in 2021, there were 1,578. So they're declining, which is unsurprising.
Thank God.
All right, Gene, in what country did the Denny's restaurant chain open its first non-U.S. location?
Ooh, interesting question. I am not aware of Denny's outside of the United States.
I mean, when I travel internationally, that's the first thing I look for.
Right. I'm just trying to, like, I'm picturing, like, which country thinks that's a cool idea?
And let's never go there.
You joke, but you go to any major, you know, tourist city outside the U.S. and the McDonald's is going to be full of Americans.
Of course.
Right. That's true. That's true.
You know what you're getting.
Yeah, that's
Wait, is
true.
That not true with Denny's? Is just random?
No. Well, there's only one, apparently. Or the first one.
The first one.
The US.
I don't know how many there are. I didn't look that up.
It would be interesting.
There was one, and they were like, all right, no.
Best of a bad job.
If I were Denny's, I would probably target, I'm going to say Canada. Why not?
Okay, can I take a guess?
Mexico. Sorry.
Oh, I was going to
guess. Dan?
Denmark. Sorry.
Are you sure you're not a dad, Dan?
Not yet.
He's ready.
He's been practicing for years.
Anthony, I will tell you first that these questions were drawn randomly, as were your names. And I was making no attempt to match.
It's a good
the question
thing.
Is... When did McDonald's open its first UK restaurant?
Mm. Oh, wow. I it was in my lifetime. I remember being quite young when it happened, but I'm going to guess 1981?
1974.
Wow.
Mm. What do you think, Kathy?
So, I mean, you had to guess.
Is that a 1.1?
I was alive.
Yeah, I was going to say 1 point.
Yeah. All right, let's see. He was alive. All right, that's good.
We'll
need to see your ID, Anthony, to prove that you were alive.
But that means I've got a false memory then, because like I was only 2 years old, so there's no way I actually remember it.
No, but you were alive.
What was your first memory, Anthony?
It was all downhill from there.
I feel like a Happy Meal is a core memory option.
Yeah, I was rejoicing in the streets. No more mussy for me.
I don't think I've ever actually had a McDonald's Happy Meal.
Oh, that explains why you're so
that
grumpy.
That you know of. Yeah.
Right, that you know of. Erica, here's your question. What year did the first Taco Bell open?
Oh, God, I have no idea. I don't even know if it was in my lifetime or not. I mean, it seems like there's just always been Taco Bell. So
yeah, it is the alpha and the omega. It's always been a Taco Bell. Shall always be a Taco Bell.
Let's see. 1965.
62. Whoa. Very good.
Nice.
Whoa. Wow.
Nice.
That's wow. That's a two-pointer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey.
All right, and now we're back around the horn to you, Cicero. Oh, which man. Fast All food right. chain has the most locations in the world?
I mean, does it even count as a fast food chain? Because it's not McDonald's anymore. It is
as of one though. So what's the reference to this question? When
right,
as of
yeah,
when?
as of what year? As of right now.
I don't have a year, but as of right now is the way I understood the question.
As of today, I have just consulted with no one, and they have told me that it is Subway.
Eat fresh.
Yep.
I only get to use my bell again. That was right on top of it.
Wow.
Every single tiny small town you drive through in the Canadian prairies, they often don't have a McDonald's. They often don't have a Tim Hortons, but they always have a Subway.
Same America.
And I learned why on Last Week Tonight.
That is correct. As did
I. Yeah. Nice.
It's the U.S. subway system.
Yes. Hey. Yes. Wow, Dan, you are on fire. Yes.
Or perhaps I should be. I should be set on fire.
I know. Dad jokes all over the place. Yes.
Oh, man.
Next up.
Correct day for it.
Indeed. Next up, Dan, it is your question. What was the first fast food chain in China?
Ooh.
Tim Hortons.
they do love their donuts.
Good old Timmy's.
You know, everyone needs some Timmy's. First fat. So again, I feel like the obvious choice is McDonald's, but I'm not going to pick that because it seems too obvious. I actually think I'm going to say Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah. That is cool.
Nice.
It's big. I tell you, I had it last time I remember having it was in the Mumbai airport. And it was fairly like Kentucky Fried Chicken was a big deal.
That is
deal
a pretty nice
India.
Flex, Dan. I must tell you,
I you know what? It was better there, I think, than it is at home. I got to be honest.
I believe kind of like Guinness.
Exactly.
All right, Gene. Here's your question.
Yes.
J.R. Simplot, Simplot, whether it matters or not, became a billionaire by selling what food item to McDonald's?
Simplot. Well. It was like the Simplot fries.
Yes. Simplotinos.
Simplotinos. I'm like thinking about, yes, I saw the founder. I don't know about the rest of you. And I don't remember this being in the story of Ray Kroc. But, except, the only thing I remember, which I don't remember names attached, is milkshakes.
It was French fries. I thought you were right there with it, but it was French fries.
I was going to, I thought milkshakes as well, for what it's worth. Yeah.
I was going to guess the newspaper pulp in the milkshake.
So it wasn't even the potatoes, it was the French fries, which is what's fascinating to me.
Well,
it's like,
that's, like, yeah, that's why I didn't guess them. It's like, what do you mean French fries, like... Or who could sell French fries?
Presumably,
he came up with whatever process by which McDonald's.
But now, yes, now when you think about McDonald's French fries, really, and you think, no, those didn't just like naturally occur in nature. Somebody had to make them up. Yep.
No, botanically, a French fry.
Around the corner, we have the majestic. McDonald's French fries.
Ooh.
I would totally go on that tour.
A simpler fish.
Yep. More of a safari. Yeah. Wild French fries. Look at them herding across the savannah.
It's a shame they're extinct because people keep taking them out and putting salt on them.
They have been banished by man.
The wilds of the American Midwest, we see in its natural habitat.
Let us stick with the theme of cylindrical food. Anthony, who invented the hot dog?
F- 50-50 chance. It's either Mr. Yeah. Hot or Mr. Dog.
Franklin D. Roosevelt. I have no idea.
Wasn't it Francis Futter?
Was it Nathan something?
I was going to say, I would have guessed Oscar Mayer if it had been my question.
Ooh, yeah.
I would have guessed Nathan.
Some guy named Johann Georg Lehner, L-E-H-N-A-R. So some German dude, I presume.
Okay.
We're coming up on the end of this round, and I think it's about time that that happens. Erica, this last question is for you. Which fast food franchise is credited with creating the very first modern drive-through window?
Ooh. I look forward to learning the answer. Because I don't just know it.
I happen to know this answer.
Well, lucky for you guys.
I heard it on a podcast, Erica.
I was going to say, whoever wants the ghost points, just shout it out if Erica has given up.
I need to make a guess, Erica. I need to make a guess. I totally need to make a guess.
Let her make a guess. Come on, folks.
Started. It's probably
first
not
modern drive-through window.
It's probably not McDonald's, but I'm just going to say McDonald's. Yeah.
In and out.
No, Wendy's.
Nope.
Wendy's? Oh, this is...
Oh, good old Wendy's.
This is not... I heard a Planet Money episode where they talked about In-N-Out being the original drive-thru because of tax purposes.
Interesting. Kathy, can we have a score check, please?
I would love to give a score check. All over the place. Everything's changed. Stay tuned. Cicero, number one with 16 points. Dan and Erica are tied for second place with 15. Anthony has 14 and Gene has 11.
Still,
wah,
potentially anybody's game. We have one more round, and Kathy, I think we're going to do two, not three, because I was worried that we wouldn't have enough content, and we are having plenty of content, which makes me happy.
So much content.
I know. Well, you've worked hard all show, and now it's time to relax with a delicious beverage. This round is called Drink in a Box. And it's all about guessing what ingredients make up cocktails and other drinks. Our source for this round is the 2-in-1 International Recipe Card Collection of Mixed Drinks and Hors d'oeuvres from 1977. The hard plastic box, which I have right here.
Oh, is this the Genius Edition?
Contains exactly. It contains 333 recipes organized into many categories. But I'm going to draw them randomly. If I told you what categories, you would get answers, and we don't want that. We'll just be using the ones for drinks, not hors d'oeuvres. Here's how it works. I'll pull a card at random from the box, and I will tell you the name of the drink. Okay. Your task is to guess what's in it, up to three correct ingredients. Some drinks may have more ingredients, but I only need three, and I'll tell you all of them at the end. For each ingredient you guess correctly, you receive 1 point. There's a maximum of 3 points per question. You also get one incorrect guess, but more than that will cost you points. So if I said whiskey sour, you would say whiskey, lemon, and sugar to earn 3 points. If you said orange instead of lemon, you could guess again. But if you guessed again and it was wrong, you'd lose a point. Mm. Correct answers are determined solely by what's on this card, not by the way you or I make the drink at home. Although we can have that conversation if you want to. We'll go around the
board. My scores are available for bribes.
Okay.
Just putting that out there.
Cicero, I have drawn a card. It happens to be card 111. Not that that will matter. Your drink is called the Bermuda Rose.
Deal.
All right. Let's have it.
Oh, I'm supposed to tell you.
I need
you
some ingredients for you.
Crap. It's called the Bermuda Rose. I'm going to go with rum.
No.
Oh, no? Okay.
No.
You might want to stop there.
I'm going to take the deal, Howie.
All right, so you're stopping there?
Let me just call the mixologist.
All right. So
my other guess was sand. So
it's everywhere.
Where are you going drinking?
Wow.
Right. I don't make drinks with sand. So the actual ingredients are gin, apricot brandy, and grenadine.
Oh, yeah. I was smart.
Yeah, people definitely
that was
that
very
for
smart.
Me all the time.
Wow. Yes. Yeah, you're going to the wrong tiki bar, man.
All right. Dan, your drink is the Tom Collins.
Oh, bugger. The Tom Collins has gin in it, I believe.
Correct.
And then I want to say sugar.
Correct.
Go for the third. This is where we're. So I get one free
you get
guess,
a freebie.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Soda water.
Club soda. So, yes. This drink has four, so it would be gin, lemon juice, sugar, and club soda.
Okay, well, yay. Just
yeah. Yay.
Nice.
All right. Woo. Gene, let's see what we have for you, reaching in the big old box. Oh,
please, please, please. Big, big money.
This drink is called the Creole.
I have no good reference.
Don't guess crawfish.
Like, that's all I want to guess now.
I'm just going to give you the ingredients to jambalaya, and that also sounds delicious.
You'll get some of them eventually, right?
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get the big one out of the way, maybe. Right. Although I've already seen somebody burned with this ingredient, rum.
Correct.
Oh, thank God. There's something.
I know
something
seriously.
About what would be called a Creole. And now I am going to guess, pineapple?
Nope.
Okay, I stop.
So this one, interestingly enough, had both light rum and dark rum. I wouldn't have expected to get, but it was available. Then also lemon juice and hot sauce.
So that's
a hot drink right there.
Tabasco would have been my first guess.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Okay.
Anthony, your drink is a daiquiri.
Yeah, you're all going, yeah, but actually, I've only drunk a daiquiri once in my life.
It's a great
British daiquiri has beans in it.
No, I've drunk a daiquiri once in my life. It was in New Orleans, and it was good, but I do not remember, like, somebody else bought it for me, so I have no idea what was in it. I don't even know what the base is. I don't, gin?
Nope.
No? Okay, right, that's it. I'm going to stop.
All right. It is rum, it is lime juice, and it's sugar.
What about tequila?
Simple syrup.
Not a daiquiri.
No, that's a margarita.
No tequila. Yeah, no tequila and a daiquiri.
Oops, don't give stuff away.
Wow.
Yeah, sorry.
No, I don't know if they made, I don't think margarita made it into this card box. That's my theory.
It might have. I would actually, there, because this is divided up by main ingredients, so I can look in the tequila section at some point, but I will not. Which is why I couldn't tell you the categories.
There is a tequila section.
There is a tequila section.
All right.
Erica, yours is called Halloween Pumpkin Punch.
Oh, God.
Woo!
It's all the liquors.
I guess, well, that's a punch. I'm going to guess rum.
No. Yes, actually. There is rum in there.
Okay.
Weirdly, it's the last ingredient, because normally the big liquor is the first ingredient. I was like, well, no. Anyway, yes, you're correct.
Okay. Boy, it's pumpkin? So is there something pumpkin flavored in there? I'm going to say pumpkin liqueur.
Kathy, I need your ruling. Help me with ruling, because it says one large pumpkin.
What?
I'm going to say no.
I wouldn't give that to me. I absolutely would not give that to me. No. Yeah.
Yes, there is, in fact,
a
picture. There is a picture of a hollowed out pumpkin, and
so
there's like
basically
dark mood lighting.
You serve it in a pumpkin. And
yes,
that's,
you serve it in a pumpkin.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. I am going to stop there.
Okay. The other ingredients are apple cider and cranberry juice and ginger ale.
Okay.
Sure. No cinnamon. No nutmeg. No pumpkin spice.
No pumpkin spice.
Oh, that had not been invented.
Right. In the 70s, they didn't have pumpkin spice.
It's
apparently
served in a pumpkin. Your pumpkin is taken right care of.
Did I say? They didn't have it yet? They hadn't discovered it yet.
Right.
All right. Back around to the top, Cicero. Your drink is called Bombay.
Like the gin? So gin?
I don't know.
Gin?
No, that's not right.
What?
There's no gin in it.
This is bogus. This is bogus, mid-century people.
Yes.
This is why I would brook no argument about what the cards say. As Erica well knows, the cards are your Bible. You must follow their lead.
Yep. Yes.
Oh, well... You know what? I'm taking my money and I'm going home.
He's taking
home.
His cards and he's going home.
I'm out.
The Bombay contains, I can't explain it, but it's brandy, dry vermouth, sweet vermouth, curacao, and Pernod. I don't understand.
No.
Wow.
Just
that's
no.
A, no.
Should be ashamed
like
of yourself.
Yeah. We know what the creator thinks of Bombay, I guess.
Apparently, Bombay Sapphire gin only started in 1986. So that would have been after
good to know.
These cards.
Good to know. Oh, all righty. Dan, your drink is the Shamrock.
From McDonald's?
So many inappropriate things I could say here. Well, let's start out with the guess that at the base is Irish whiskey.
Ding, ding, ding.
Do I go home now?
You get a free wrong guess.
I do get a free wrong guess, and I will take the most of it. A Shamrock that has Irish whiskey. Jesus, what do you put in with Irish whiskey? I'm going to say club soda.
No.
Yeah, I'm done.
So a Shamrock, you would imagine it might be green. You're going to need some green cream dement for that.
Yep.
Also dry vermouth.
Stop putting dry vermouth in everything.
It's a filler.
Once Irish whiskey was on the board, I was like, you would never add creme de menthe to that, would you?
You would in 1977.
It sounds really terrible. Yeah. There's a lot of green creme de menthe in 1977, believe me.
Ooh, yeah.
Alrighty then. It's down to Eugene. Your drink is an Arrowhead.
Oh my lord. Oh, no. Let's see. How horrible can this be for 1977?
Pretty horrible.
Because I'm thinking of some bad things that people might have called an Arrowhead. Or could it be from a resort in
Kansas
wherever
City.
Arrowhead is?
I was thinking that.
So, and we say it's 1977, but obviously these drinks...
they might be a little older, you never know.
Uh-huh. They might be a little bit
assume.
Older. Yeah. All right, let me go. We haven't had a vodka drink yet, so vodka?
Nope.
Okay.
Vodka drink, a I'm whiskey done. Drink.
Right, I was thinking the same
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's it for me, because I'm not going into negative points for an Arrowhead.
All right, so you were close when you said Firewater, because that is usually applied to whiskey, and bourbon is the main alcohol in this drink. Also red vermouth and white vermouth. So not only do they have vermouth, they feel like they have to have two of them.
Wow.
They have to have red.
Plus lemon juice. Wow. Lemon juice and egg white.
Uh-huh.
So
it's fun.
No.
Bad drinks.
Telling you,
bad
egg drinks are good. I enjoy
They're tasty.
Egg.
A little okay. bit. Yeah, it is nice, but the vermouth,
yeah.
come on.
All righty. I think it's Anthony's turn. Anthony, your drink is called the Harvard Wine.
Ooh. Oh, Lord. The Harvard wine. Sorry.
Is it W-I-N-E,
not
oh, okay.
no H?
No, yeah, I was going to say with the
W-H.
G.
Yeah.
With the G in there.
Harvard wine.
Toilet water.
Yes. exactly what I was thinking, sister.
Wow. I mean, okay, so just because this appears to be, I was tempted to say absinthe, but just because this seems to be a theme, vermouth.
You're right.
Somebody finally figured that out.
Exactly. Apparently, there's a vermouth company that sponsors this entire box, apparently.
Okay. Free wrong guess. Sugar?
No.
Okay. That's it. I'm done.
So the other ingredients are cognac and orange bitters.
Okay,
that's
not too bad, actually.
Yeah.
Cognac, orange bitters, and vermouth.
That's poor man's sidecar, please.
Yeah.
Yes. Very poor man's sidecar. Mm-hmm. All right, Erica, last question in this round goes to you, the Pink Lady.
Oh.
I have no idea. I feel like I've heard of it, maybe. But I'm going to guess champagne. Pink champagne, perhaps? I don't know. No?
And I'm actually surprised for reasons I will explain when we're done. But yeah, no champagne or sparkling wine of any kind.
Okay, then I'm just stopping.
This is the part I didn't anticipate, and I should have. So it's gin. It's apple,
what lady has gin in it, too?
It's apple brandy. It's grenadine. It's lemon juice. It's heavy cream, and it's egg white.
Oh, God.
That's a harsh. Now, and the reason,
I was there until the heavy cream. Right. That was the I don't think so.
And the reason that I think of the white lady is that was the fancy drink that I had when I went to the Victoria Hotel in you get off the Vancouver Island, you go across, and there's a mm-hmm. fancy hotel, and you mm-hmm. drink white ladies. And that's, in fact, like a French 75, and it's got sparkling wine, and it's got gin. Yeah. And yeah, so I saw Pink Lady. And, well, friends, Gene, hi, Gene.
Hi, Shelley.
Kathy, can we have a score update, please? A final update, in fact.
A final score update. We're going to go reverse order because I am in charge of this, and that's how I'm going to do it. In fifth place, we've got Gene with 12 points. In fourth place, Anthony with 15. Tied for second place is Cicero and Erica for 16, which means Dan takes the crown with 19 points.
Well done.
Yay. Whoa, all came from totally from behind.
Eat your bran flakes, everyone.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you went to that hotel and you had the fancy hotel and had the white lady, was it served with muesli?
It's not.
It's only muesli if it's from the region of the United Kingdom. Otherwise, it's sparkling oatmeal.
Just sparkling oatmeal, yeah.
Well, congratulations to you, Dan, for winning the inaugural edition of this here game show, which whose name I forgot for a moment. It is called Eat or Be Eaten, and I'm thanking you all for playing. Thanks to Erica, Anthony, Gene, Dan, and Cicero. And of course, very special thanks go to Kathy Campbell, the world's best scorekeeper, and to our producer, Stephen Shapansky, who will be out there making us sound good. Please, can you do that? And extra special thanks, as always, to the wonderful, incomparable listeners who make all this possible. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye now.